Oh, see, it cuts out so quickly. Yeah, I was aiming for a nice, smooth transition. Well, I failed us.
Because everything's been so smooth this morning so far.
Smooth, I would not say. This past week, we know about my failed...
Yeah, you've had a rough week. Is that your new one?
My new phone is here without a case. And feel how slippery that is.
Oh, they purposely make them slippery so you have to buy a case.
That thing is so damn slippery.
And they're so thin. It's
so
just thin
and
like
slippery. There's no heft. There's no heft to it at all. I ordered the protective case and a 128 gigabyte SD card, which it's like $40 for 128 gigs. Like if you bought an iPhone version with 128 gigs of storage, they'd probably charge you like $1,000 for that phone.
Totally.
Yeah. As opposed to, you know, this phone, brand new, was $270 and a $40 SD card, and it has 64 gigabytes on board, plus the 128 is 186.
Wow, that's great.
186 gigabytes in that little form factor. So I can shoot videos without worrying about the storage being taken up.
That's great. Well, I have an iPhone with 128.
How much did it cost you?
About $200 because I had, you know, we have that Verizon. They don't have this plan anymore.
I can't
but
imagine.
Every 2 years, you could get a phone upgrade.
Oh, they don't do that anymore at all.
Yeah, they don't do that, but I got mine in under that. So.
Yeah, you're lucky.
Yeah,
because
so,
it, like, just much, also, much like your Canada Goose jacket.
Right,
has gone. So you're ahead of the curve. You're so far ahead of the curve.
Keeping an eye on what Kim's buying and doing, and
you know
she's
what?
A trendsetter.
Yeah,
she's a trendsetter.
You know what? That was a huge problem when I was designing clothes because I would, you know, do a line.
So avant-garde.
Right, and then 5 years later, it would be like everywhere, and I was like, wow, how come nobody bought it?
It's all about timing.
Or I would make, I had this beautiful leopard velvet fabric, and I would make these beautiful coats, and they were all hand sewn and couture.
Do you still have any of that fabric?
Oh, what? No, but Liv wears all the clothes that
I saw her closet. She took a picture of her closet. She has probably about 15 different leopard print jackets.
Wow.
And the caption was, do you think I have a problem?
Yes.
But
the answer is yes.
It's leopard velvet. It's beautiful velvet with printed cat.
It did not real leopards.
Yeah, but let me
leopards would harm in the production of these.
But let me finish telling this story. So I took my collection and I was like selling these coats for, I took them to Neiman's, you know, $90, right? And, you know, because thank God nobody ordered them because I would have been
I wouldn't have been able
to do that.
Would have been a Lucy episode.
Well, I did eventually get orders, but that was, you know, a year later at the Village. 5 years later, I'm like walking through Neiman's, leopard scarf from Fendi, same exact material, just a thin piece of material, $900.
In fairness, it had the Fendi thing.
Right, yeah, but still, I mean...
You have to, like, so many people, that's the only reason they spend stupid money on things is because it has...
Yes, yeah, a label like that.
A label like that.
Ironically, if yours cost $900, somebody probably would have
bought it.
Right? They would have been like, oh, I should buy this. It's really expensive, so...
That's right. We're going to go around and introduce everybody. Nicole Schraft is here.
Good morning.
Aaron Whitmore, and who is the resident Cape Ann Wildlife...
I'm
person.
One of them. There's actually three licensed rehabbers on Cape Ann. So myself, Jody Swenson, and there's a new rehabber just got her license a couple weeks ago. Her name is Erin Hutchins. So there's two Erins.
Oh, two Erins.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you have an area of expertise?
My focus is on mammals, specifically small carnivores.
What's an example of one of those that you would
a
be
weasel
treating?
Or a mink.
How about a ferret?
How about a
ferret?
Ferrets are domestic. I have pet ferrets, actually.
Of course you do.
Yes, of course I do. Yeah. I knew
her specialty is your sweatshirt.
Yes, anything to do with the meat on my sweatshirt.
Pretty much, yeah.
I have some interesting questions. We're gonna get back to you,
Aaron
Whitmore.
Hi.
Because you're going to have a segment. Jimmy and Pat Dalpiaz are both here.
Good morning.
Fresh off there.
Yeah.
Left, center, right. Tournament
experience. Yeah,
virgins.
Wonderful.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
We contributed to that scholarship a fair amount.
Oh, I agree.
Nice. And we have Miss Kim Smith, the keeper of the snowy owls.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Yes.
Happy snowy owl story this morning.
Before we go any further, I'd like to mention Cape Ann Community Cinema, who sponsors the podcast in the by way of a couple of tickets to the show. If you share this podcast link on Facebook and tag us, you have a chance to win two tickets to Cape Ann Community Cinema. The listings are always stickied at the top in the Good Morning Gloucester calendar, and you can click on the link in the show notes to go directly to the website where he does movie reviews, and it's very well. His website is probably the best website if you want to check out movies that are coming there than like the big chains have.
And you can buy your tickets online too,
and
if
they,
you need to buy them. Yeah.
There you go. So there's that. You'll see in the picture, because Kim took the picture for the show notes. What looks like from afar, a bunch of throw up on my
like
Pepto Bismol throw up.
Looks like a tie-dye gone sideways.
Yes, yes,
a little bit.
But what it actually is like a flank steak cut up and like completely printed on this hoodie that Rick, which is, Nicole, you came over the house yesterday and you walked in, you had no idea what was going on.
No, and I felt bad immediately afterwards because I didn't know Rick gave it to you, but I walked in and I haven't seen the house yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked in, it's immaculate, you know, it's like catalog worthy, and but my eyes went right to Joey, and in my head I was like, what the fuck? But I didn't know. Anyway, but then you very quickly launched into that Rick had just given it to you, and then I felt horrible. I was like, no, I mean, it's great, but I think he did it because it's funny, right? I mean,
yeah, it's obvious it's a gag gift. I'm not.
But I didn't
like
know that. I just walked in, and I was like, what in the world is Joey wearing?
So Joey's proudly wearing his flank steak.
Yeah. I'm proudly, yes. This is good. The work. Yeah. It's so funny, you know, for people that don't, I mean, anyone that really knows me gets the connection,
yeah.
Like the, you know, the obscene barbecue
right.
fanatic.
Yeah,
thing.
Well, Paula Rhino, you're maybe gonna have to take another picture of that because Paula Rhino Brian's really gonna be wanting to see what that looks like.
Well, Kim's gonna have the picture.
Okay,
on the show.
I don't know.
Is
if
that
it's gonna,
maybe I should take
is that HUK? How do you say that? Huck Fishing Gear makes all those things in like different patterns like that, but they're usually like watercolor patterns. They usually look like fish scales and like,
yeah,
and they're bluish.
It's like really, there is no cotton or there is nothing natural.
The irony in that is how flammable that is.
Oh my goodness.
So if you go too close to one of your Webers, you're gone.
Poof.
Joey, you're gone.
Yes, poof. Honestly, yeah.
The irony in
yeah.
the meat sweatshirt.
Like,
so
if someone
is.
Like was a pot smoker, you know how like they always like drop their roaches or something,
oh,
and like
I
immediately,
know,
of course,
yeah.
Pat, I'm looking directly at you because I know you grew up in that generation. You
finally,
two grew up in that Woodstock. Did you guys go to Woodstock?
No, we're not that
were.
Old. No.
What?
We're maybe 5 years younger than that. We're about 5 years.
Here,
the visual
yeah.
for this podcast
yeah, yeah,
is like
yeah.
this, like. Just like,
you know,
this
just
whirling,
I'm
like.
A musician, I want to take a little offense that you think that I was.
Hey, let's focus back on Nicole's
pot smoking
Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicole's Bloody Marys. I didn't even have to bring it up. Everyone, your reputation precedes itself.
Yeah. I didn't make the phone call yesterday at like 11:30, being like, "Come to my house now and drive." And then you're like, "I mean, drink." I'm like, "It's 11:30." And then the anger that I was like wasn't there in 3 minutes. I have a husband and two kids. He's like, "Where are you?" I'm like, "Sorry,
that
like,
was
give me a minute notice
I
before
you know,
expect me to start pounding."
You're being disingenuous because you know Kate had my phone and was texting me.
Oh yeah.
Well, I want you to know, Nicole, the last podcast that we did at the house,
I was so
before we
jealous.
Started that, yes. We
did you hear? We gave you all. We paid homage
right
to you.
Yeah,
that.
We did. We did.
Paid homage. Said we can't do this without her, but we are.
So that we're like way off. But so the irony in that is that, so Joey texted me, I was working, and he said, I just threw you under the bus again on the podcast. I'm like, oh, for the love of God, like, seriously? But what had just happened in my office at the school where I work is we have, I have this, like, case of leftover beer from a faculty picnic. It's warm. It's, like, been sitting there. Shouldn't probably be in my office, but, you know, whatever. But I have a horseshoe from an event we did at Myopia that Finn had picked up, and it was hanging on my bulletin board, and Freddie had just said the day before, he's like, that horseshoe's going to fall off. And I'm like, all right, whatever. So I was sitting, it was almost dismissal, there's parents in the hallway, kids are like getting their backpacks ready to leave, and the horseshoe fell and landed on that thing of beer and poked a hole in one, and it was spraying all over my office. I was like, what is going on? And then Joey texted like 30 seconds later and said, I just threw you under the bus. And I was like, ironically, I have beer exploding in my office as you speak. But,
I think one of the funniest things from last week was, so Nicole, if anyone doesn't know, she works in the marketing department for the Montessori school, right? And so she puts a picture of the kids, like, oh, isn't this wonderful? The kids, they're all laying down in the snow, like making snow angels. And the premise was, you know, just being in touch, in tune with nature, listening to the sounds of nature, laying down. I'm thinking to myself, this teacher is next level. Next level. You take the kids out, you tell them all lay down and be very quiet and very still and just and lay there still for hours. I mean, it's fucking brilliant teaching, right? Yeah. There's no, and then how much do you pay to go to the Montessori school to send your kids out into the field, staring into the thing, being quiet?
We're not done
you
yet.
Can't make this up. You can't make this up. Brilliant. No wonder why they're teaching at the Montessori school.
Idiots. Why would you teach anywhere else?
Brilliant.
This is how we spend our
brilliant
day.
Brilliant. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, Nicole, why don't we explain the whole premise behind the photo? I mean, oh, did I get it right? Is this teaching
the
next level?
I mean, yeah, you got it
level?
Right, but they were snowshoeing. So, I mean, you don't really want, I could go on and on about how great it actually was, but no, you're right, it was funny. But they were snowshoeing, and they took a break snowshoeing to lay down and listen to the sounds of nature.
That's so awesome.
Right, Erin and Kim? Right? Nothing wrong with that.
I thought that was amazing.
What are the odds the coyotes are out there?
Finn, Jerry gym class at school? You do, right?
Yeah. Finn, do you ever hear coyotes over by your house?
I posted the
video
on
Good Morning Boston.
Yeah.
It was kind of
a
rhetorical question.
They were going at it this morning at 7 a.m.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yesterday afternoon, Kate and I were, you know, stacking some firewood, and they sat. It sounded like they were 30, just on the other side of this thicket.
They
were.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, they were literally on the other
side.
They
were on
the
other side of
it. Yeah, all over the place. Getting back to, so thank you to Rick. Did I mention the meat thing?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you to Rick Dowsett. And I, also with Rick Dowsett, he sent me a press release. The Cape Ann YMCA teen leaders are having a canned, non-perishable food drive, that, and they're closing in on their goal. If they reach, if they reach 12,000 cans, they're up to, last week they were up to 10,143 items. If they reach 12,000, they get to shave Rick's head.
Whoa!
Rick Dowsett's head.
So 12,000 cans?
Cans or items.
Oh, okay.
It's non-perishable items or cans. You know,
okay.
Each counts as an item. Yeah, if 15,000, they get to shave Rick's head and leave his sideburns and dye them and his beard blue.
Wow, so I'm going to participate in that.
That's
right.
Where
that's
do you donate it to? Where do you bring the donations to?
You can bring it to the Cape Ann YMCA, and that's where they're collecting it.
You should sticky that to the top. Right.
Rick's going down.
He's going down. So
he's done that before, right? That's a great thing.
Yeah,
to
he
do.
Does it
every
year. It's kind of like in conjunction with the rockathon that they do, where they sit in the rocking chairs for 24 hours or whatever.
I remember when Liv did that in high school. It was fun.
Yeah. So there's that. Erin Whitmore, you're our lead guest, I suppose.
Thank you, yes.
Cape Ann Wildlife and Mammals. So here's the question. Wait.
Wait, no, she has growl ink, right?
Yes, so I before I got my own license, I volunteered at Cape Ann Wildlife with Jody to kind of learn the ropes. But she focuses on birds, songbirds, and I wanted to focus on mammals. So started my own.
So, we have a link here to your personal website, www.growlinc.org, growlinc.org. Click on that for more information. But so you say mammals, and can you give us some examples of the type of mammals that you will be saving?
So, most of what I do is kind of, you know, like squirrels, flying squirrels, the kinds of things that people, you know, they're doing yard work, they're cutting down trees in their yard, and they come across a nest. And so that's sort of the majority of the stuff that I do. But what I really, really like doing is helping to bring up the balance of predators to prey on Cape Ann. I mean, everyone here knows there's a rat problem on Cape Ann. We have
rats, rabbits, crows.
Yeah, so many prey animals that need more control. So what I'm hoping to be able to do is help support the small predators that would help take care of those.
Like more coyotes.
Fox, weasels,
right.
Mink.
Coyotes?
Fisher cats?
Well, coyotes
fishers,
are not so
I love
much.
Fishers.
They don't, coyotes.
This is what I see.
Coyotes are what I would consider like a medium to large predator. Yes, they do help control rabbit and rat populations, but they've actually filled a niche where they hunt as a pack in this region, and they take down deer. So they're doing their job, which is an important one too. But I want to focus more on the smaller
have
predators.
You noticed that there's been, have you seen less fox over time?
Yeah, so I'm not from Gloucester. I grew up in New Hampshire. I moved here about 7 years ago. My partner we live up on Blake Court off of Haskell Street, just up the corner. And she said that there used to be fox
everywhere
up there. She would see them all the time.
Yeah. That worries me that there's so few.
We don't see them anymore.
The only time I see them is over in West Gloucester.
Yeah,
well,
I've seen them over in West Gloucester and in Ipswich, but I haven't seen them on Cape Ann proper.
I think there's fewer coyotes. This is my theory. There's fewer coyotes over there because there's fewer people that live like around coffins and
put trash out.
Because there's fewer people putting trash. There's way more coyotes over here because there's way more trash. But over there, the fox have been able to, you know,
hold their ground.
But they're not over here anymore.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah, it's unfortunate because I love fox and we could use them. I mean,
because fox are much better killers of white-footed mice.
And rats, aren't white-footed
mice carriers of Lyme?
Yes,
they're the main vector.
And that's probably why we have this explosion of Lyme.
Absolutely,
I think so.
Absolutely.
I think
the rodent problem in general is.
We just solved everything just now.
Right.
You realize that? We just made the whole circle. We just did the whole circle.
Get some more box.
Yep.
Yeah, let's get some box in here.
I would love that.
So wait a second now. You're gonna bother with a squirrel if someone's got a squirrel?
They are sweet little creatures. You don't even know.
I wish so much I knew about you. You know, 3 years ago when there was a little baby squirrel in my yard, and he just cried and cried and cried, and I kept feeding him. But obviously something happened to his mom, and he just cried and cried for like 2 days. I just didn't know how to help him. So I'm glad.
Aren't they good?
Yeah.
Aren't they? They make nice pelts, though, right? The squirrel.
Here we go.
No, that's a joke. I mean, you have to understand. I'm joking.
He always jokes.
It's just joking. But the look on her face. The look on her face is just like the consternation. Like,
she
knows I'm joking. But like, it just seems like so. How is your thing? Is it volunteer? Do you get paid? Is there?
It's all volunteer. So wildlife rehabbers aren't allowed by law to charge for their services. So we rely on donations and kind of our own piggy banks.
Wow.
And you have a little fundraiser going on right now?
I do. I have a few. So because I'm still trying to introduce myself to the area and get the word out about Growl. And trying to gain a following, I have a few fundraisers going on. I have a T-shirt fundraiser, which has been really successful so far.
Oh, I love that. Is that the gray with the...
Is it on the growlink.org
website?
It actually isn't. I should put it up there, shouldn't I?
It's on your Facebook page.
It's on Facebook, yeah, but it's on my Facebook.
All right,
I'll put a link to that. All right.
And so it's a logo I designed myself with a weasel inside of a ship's helm.
Oh,
great. And
a weasel.
Yeah, I love weasels.
Do you what I see over all the time in West Gloucester is little red squirrels. But yeah. I never see them over here.
Yeah, we don't have a very large population of them here, although in West Gloucester, because there's a lot more pine forests there, they do a lot better over there.
Over there?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something bad that my husband did? So we got squirrels in our house. After our dog died, squirrels moved into our house in this one little... And then they got trapped in there. But then, then we got them out. But then my husband... But he got them out by, he trapped 26 squirrels.
26?
And he drove them off the bridge. But anyways, don't tell
him. Who did that?
Wait, what?
Oh, that's horrible.
Tom caught 26 squirrels that were using, they were using this one route around, I mean, he didn't kill them or anything.
26
over a period of just like, I don't know, it was a week. But then
wow.
we didn't have squirrels in our house anymore, and then we could have the guy come
and then
out.
You close it up.
We
right.
even closed it up.
Yeah.
But he, I watched where they went. They went out our house, then they went, you know, went around to the trees next door in the empty lot where they have their little food storage. Then they would come back, and then they'd run along our back fence. So he put the, I said, put the trap right there on the back fence.
They all walked right on their route.
They put a peanut in it, and they just walked right
in. All 26.
All 26.
So you contributed to the murder of these.
No, he drove them to, he relocated them.
By the way, just for listeners, it is illegal to relocate wildlife.
Yeah.
It is
illegal. Well, we learned that afterwards. But
there's a statue of limitations.
Did you relocate
that? He was going down.
Did you use a burlap bag and a cinder block in Overwood?
No.
Where'd you relocate them to?
Over the bridge somewhere.
Yeah,
well, over the bridge?
Apiandrew
Bridge?
Yes, Apiandrew Bridge.
So they're in the Anasquam River right now?
No.
Over the bridge,
the land.
I thought you said you put them in the bag with
no.
the brick.
No.
It wouldn't be so friendly if that were true.
He's
covering
the
tracks.
Your ancestors
put them in the car.
I said
you can't just bring them down to the bottom of the street because
they'll
come back. And I know they swim over water because I have seen them swimming across the harbor. I've seen them swimming out there.
Yeah, they cross the harbor.
So
what is your most interesting mammal sighting on Cape Ann?
The most exciting for me is otters.
Yay!
That's ours.
And I love the photos of otters that you've been able to capture.
That's
amazing.
Do you know we had them in the dock? I've
seen
them twice. Once about 3 years ago, and when was the last time? Was it this spring?
I think it was recent. Yeah.
So three years ago, one time, like three or four of them.
Yeah.
Frolicking.
Oh.
Like incredible. Like I've never seen more
cool.
happy, funny creatures in my entire life.
Yeah.
And the next day, never saw them again. And 3 years ago, then one more time like this year. And they're so cool. So it's interesting that you said otters, because for me, it was my otter sighting.
They're just so cool.
Kim got photos
that,
like, unbelievable, eating the eel and stuff.
Yeah, those are beautiful.
Eating the eel. Wow, that was so awesome.
I saw one kayaking, actually, while I was in the Anasquam.
So tell me, do you feel like they're making a comeback?
Absolutely they are. They're doing phenomenal. They're so sensitive to human activity.
And water. Clean water.
Yeah, so they're sort of what they call an indicator species, because if the water is polluted at all, or
they're done. Yeah,
they're
going someplace else.
They're not going to be there. They can't survive if the water's not good. So they're a good indicator as to whether the fish in that area are doing really well. The eels, because they focus on eels a lot.
I found it interesting that they were in salt water though.
They're not picky. They're
I didn't know.
They go through the marshes and they can find fresh water and then, it's really cool.
And they'll follow the food. I mean, they know.
Right, and also, where they are over in West Gloucester, there's an old beaver lodge. And I read that
So
once the beavers came, then
that's exactly
were,
true.
They
rely on the beavers to help create
the atmosphere, the
environment that they need.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
They're all working together.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, it's so awesome.
Ecosystem.
Right. 7 years ago, we didn't see, there were a few beavers, but not the way they
10 years ago, we never saw a coyote, and now that they were filthy with them.
Yeah.
See, I think they kept migrating eastward, and then they get to Cape Ann. There's no place further for them to migrate, and they keep coming.
You just get packing
like
in.
Squirrel
they
cage.
Put down their suitcases.
Like this squirrel cage.
Take
one, two, three, four.
It's true. It's true.
So, Aaron, we were at the lobster pool at the by Halibut Point. It's like 3 years ago, and there was a little in the rocks. There was a little animal, you know, like this big, running out of
ferret.
The rocks. It wasn't a ferret, but it was in like the ferret weasel, small.
Weasel, probably, yeah.
It had a fight. So somebody with us.
I've seen them down on the fish pier playing in the rocks there,
yeah.
The state fish pier.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Somebody with us gave it a funny name, and I had never heard of this animal before. Then I went home and Googled it, and it was a thing, but I can't remember the name.
Is it a meerkat?
No. Yes. Yes. Yes, Joey. It was a meerkat. You got it. It was right next to the wildebeest. And the wallaby. No, I forget what it was. But
how about the dingoes? Was there another dingoes? Dingo ate my baby.
I saw a mink in the otter area. I'd never seen a mink before.
Oh, awesome.
They're very elusive, I think. It was.
They're
just,
funny, though. I've
yeah.
seen them. I've seen two on Cape Ann. They're,
yeah.
They're funny little critters.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I had a very weird coyote encounter a couple days ago. Over, I'm going to make the location unknown because I don't want everybody to like go over there in droves. But
yeah.
I saw a friend and I thought that they were looking at the snowy owl, so I got out of my car and they were like from there were a pack of them from me to like a little bit to that wall over there, right? And so we're just.
What wall?
That wall. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry.
You're talking about 10 feet away from me? There's
yeah.
a pack of coyotes?
There was maybe, so that's 10 feet. So say, I would say 15 feet. 15 feet away.
Ooh.
Right. So then.
My heart would be racing.
Good thing she wasn't
my
wearing a sweatshirt.
My heart was.
Yes, that's right.
So that's fine. The other two photographers, so then they kind of went like behind some shrubs. So the other two photographers left, and I heard a little downy woodpecker. So I'm like, oh, I'm trying to get. I mean, it was
turned
light
your
was
back
standing.
On the coyotes.
I turned to the side, and suddenly they were now there 10. Now they came out of the woods, and now there are two of them staring at me 10 feet away, like from here to that wall there. So I took a picture, of course, and then I started clapping loudly and making noise. And one was skittish and went into the woods, and one did not. One started like
Whoa.
Digging and, you know, like doing that.
Like a
yeah.
bull.
Yeah, like a bull. So then then I was very scared. So I'm walking backwards now. And then this old guy comes up with a dog, and he's going to walk his dog. And he said, what were you just yelling at? Was that a deer? And I said, no, that was a guy. Those were coyotes. So he walks from the other area, right? And I'm like, now I'm worried about the guy with the
dog
so
right.
I'm watching them. And so then they go, then he goes away, but then he goes, starts walking towards the area, and the coyotes come out and they're like this, you know, like looking at
yeah,
the dog
yeah.
like
dinner.
Right, dinner. See, but then, so then he came walking towards me and I got some more pictures, and I think the coyotes thought of us like a group. But my worry was the coyote looking at me as dinner, or was he I felt like he had an expectation of food. So my worry was...
Oh,
yeah, he thought you were going to feed him.
Yeah, I thought I was going to feed him. And I'm worried some people are feeding them. That's my worry.
That would be unusual.
Yeah, that they had this expectation of food.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very strange. So I didn't feel good about it. I took
yeah,
Tom
no,
the
I'd
next
be
day.
Completely spooked by
yeah.
that. That would be,
I
yeah.
took Tom the next day and said, you know, I'm not going back there by myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I showed him everywhere, but we didn't see the coyotes. But anyways.
Well, speaking of that, the mayor, there is a coyote meeting at the Cultural Center on Rocky Neck on February 26th at 7 p.m. I imagine you're going to be there.
Yes, I'm going
to
go.
Because I'm looking forward to, because I won't go.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to your feedback.
Yes, yeah, I'm very interested.
Your
to
impartial feedback.
Yes.
Because I know you don't have any agendas.
No.
And who's the person that's going to be giving the speech?
Jonathan Way.
Oh, I love him. He is so... He's amazing.
Is that
I hear he's the
Dr.
foremost Dr. Jonathan Lee, yes. Doctor.
Now it's coming your direction.
Because you can't, yes, it's very important to address him properly. Dr. Jonathan Way.
It's coming again.
Why didn't you, yeah. Why didn't you do that when the coyotes went in?
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't make any sense.
No.
She didn't throw anything at the coyotes, but she throws a pad of paper at my head.
Yes.
I didn't have a projectile on me. I was yelling. I was clapping, yelling, like, I was going, rah.
And the last pictures on our camera are going to be the wolf or the coyote and me.
Yeah, that's it. So.
Tom was like, you gotta. He's like, can't you get like a siren or something? He's looking for a siren.
Oh, like a panic.
like a bear horn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I read is that we're going to be getting bears eventually here because
I hope so.
They're slowly migrating.
Yeah, they're doing really well in the western part of the state,
yeah.
And they're coming.
And they're coming.
Did
they're
you
coming.
Just look at me like?
They're
there
not
you
a
know.
Threat to us. Come on.
No, the male.
Have you not seen Yogi Bear?
Hey, boo boo.
They want
to
eat
I've
all
been
your food.
Face to face with a mountain lion before in the you know backwoods of Montana, and the black bear is not going to bother you.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen. I grew up in
those.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Everywhere.
Are we going to end up like 5 or 6 years from now? You're gonna be like petting the mountain lions and then eat your face off and you say, oh, she was really, you know, she always said that they wouldn't hurt us. The bears were so nice.
No, the mountain lions will hurt you.
Okay.
The bears won't.
Okay. Yeah.
So what I read is that the males, so they get established in a territory and then there's too much competition and the males have to expand out of that area. So that's
and they
why
have
there's
big ranges.
Bears,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. The
you
bears,
mean,
black
oh,
bears.
Yeah.
I would love, you see them down on the South Shore, right? Aren't there black bears down there? That
oh, I didn't,
are there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I
could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. I don't know why I thought.
I've seen them
you
in
see,
the,
like,
I've
in
them
the news,
Western
you see some people.
With black bears. Oh, really?
Are you aware of any kind of not expensive like wilderness cams that you could set up that are activated by motion?
If you
because
go on Amazon and just search for like a trail cam,
yeah.
You can get it for $50.
That would be the search.
I'm going to get
cam.
One and put one in my backyard.
Yeah.
I know there's coyotes
oh,
romping
oh,
through
yeah.
there
24/7. I'm sure you'll see some surprising things.
It was kind of in your backyard that I saw the...
Unknown location.
Yeah. The unknown, no, yeah.
Oh, that's no surprise to
right,
me. Can we hear them every single
I
day?
I know.
Yeah.
They were at it this morning. Well, we already said that. This morning. I don't usually hear them so much at 7 in the morning. I hear them at dusk,
yeah.
Mostly.
So there's that. We put a link to Erin's website and also her fundraiser T-shirt. It's actually a very cool design. Who designed it?
I did myself.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
You should be commended.
Thank
for
you.
Your work. And also for saving the squirrels.
No. Wow.
Yes.
Why not? Let her rip. Cape Ann Reads was yesterday.
Oh, that was
Kim,
so
Kim was there and
I can't.
Kim, just hold on. So you were very proud of our partner in crime over here, Catherine
so
Ryan, who ran. I didn't know that Cape Ann Reads was her baby.
She's so modest. So I'm not sure if she. I don't know this for a fact. Who came up with the idea? Whether it was one of the library directors or some. I don't know. But she took the project and she just brought it to a whole new level. And she's been the guiding light behind it, all the, you know, the competition through the different children's book authors. And then yesterday was just a phenomenal event. And
it was wonderful.
I hope they do. I mean, this might become an annual thing. So there were.
So is that City Hall?
Is that City Hall? And then each artist and illustrator, not everybody who participated, because there were many people who didn't get accepted to
the next level.
To the next level, but if you did, you were invited to have a table set up, and you could have all your illustrations, your mock-up books, you know, whatever book projects you're working on. And so it was so wonderful to see the different stages of the books that people are working on. All of us made coloring sheets. And the kids loved that. You know, the original illustrations reduced to black and white drawings, and the kids loved that. And it was just very, it was a great place for networking. Like, my table was right next to Mary Rhinelander.
Oh.
And David Rhinelander is her uncle. And I just learned this. She's Virginia Lee Burton's grand niece.
You didn't know that?
No.
You didn't know about that lineage?
No, I didn't know about that. But anyways, it was just, and then Catherine just, she created the whole program. She designed the floor plan. She just organized it so beautifully. People contributed refreshments. Alexander's Bread had sent over some brownies. There were sandwiches for the, and guests could help themselves to the refreshments, and they were all free. And so could, so could the contributors. And then they had an award ceremony, and Ken Riel gave each of us who won, I received something called the Gulliver's Award. And in the envelope was $100 for each of us who had won that from the chamber. So,
wow.
So I'm taking my $100 and I'm going to go join the chamber.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was really fantastic.
See,
so,
that's like a whole, like a, it's a
one thing feeds
a vortex of good.
Yeah, and then the mayor got up and really gave some really nice accolades to Catherine, which were so well deserved. It was really
She's
sweet.
So shy, that mayor.
Yeah.
Really doesn't have much to say often. So
to
have her there
must
have been really
yeah.
something.
She was there visiting everybody's tables. She is the most hands-on mayor.
I don't know how she fakes all that real interest all the time.
She is really interested. Her daughter Bianca was running around and learning about all the different exhibitors and stuff.
She's special, and of course I joke.
She's so special.
But she is. I don't know where she gets her energy.
I don't either.
Catherine Ryan and the mayor.
Right.
Yeah, both of them. They're
so
fantastic.
I don't know how to thank Catherine enough for everything that she did for all of us. Because Catherine's job as mayor, as arts liaison to the mayor, she is a volunteer position. And I don't know how she does it, honestly. Because, you know, she also works and has her twin boys.
And then she's taking care of her mother-in-law.
Right, and her mother-in-law.
Because we haven't seen her on the podcast for over a month now.
Right. Well,
There's like a hole. There's like a void.
Her mother-in-law was there yesterday. Her mother-in-law has a big, huge neck brace on that she's going to be wearing for another four. So she slipped on ice. She's a very vibrant, energetic mother-in-law, but thinks she's unbeatable and just jumped out of a car in a boop, you know, down the
street. Can we talk about another a good egg story? Very quickly. I'm just going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Warren Waugh
yeah.
bought four tickets to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole, why don't you tell the story?
Well, I could go on. You know, I don't know Warren as well as Kim, and probably you know Warren.
No.
But I've been at a lot of events with him, and I do the Bluefin Blowout every year. And this year in particular, just, you know, I joke that every day he wakes up and says, "How can I give back today?" But pretty much, that's kind of accurate.
Wow.
So he's done a lot of things in the last few months between he also owns that Nauset Farm.
Yep.
Down in Orleans, and he did Christmas trees. If you made a donation, he would deliver the Christmas trees right to your house, and he had people doing it, and every penny went to Alzheimer's. But this time around, he bought four Super Bowl tickets out of his own pocket and raffled them off on his Facebook page, and I think he had spent like $1,200 or $1,300 a piece himself on four, and they ended up going for $12,700, I think.
For the Alzheimer's Association.
If he bought them, they must be really good seats too.
And they were good seats.
Yeah. So there's
but
that.
It's just, you know.
We always like to shout out to good
yeah.
and Warren is one of our favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
The Art Haven Buoy Auction, Kim. You went to that. You don't have the pictures up yet. By the time this post though, you probably have them up tonight.
Yeah,
7?
I'll put them up tonight.
Okay.
And so. That was tremendous. Tracy Corbett is now managing things there. I didn't see David there, but Tracy and Kathy Kelly were there. And it was just another fabulous, fun, kid-friendly, wonderful night for Gloucester. It starts at 5, and right from the get-go, it was filled with...
Incredible energy.
Incredible energy. Kids running around. There's activities for the kids. There were food provided by Common Crow. Somebody brought in a whole tray of crab cakes. And so the mayor was handing those out. I got those.
Damn.
Yeah. I think
I saw the list of people that brought food and sponsored food. It was a long list.
Yeah.
Sebastian's Pizza.
It was
a lot.
It was a huge long table.
Yeah.
All, you know,
great
free
take.
Food. The buoys went for, you know, one when I was there went for $800. I didn't stay long enough to see what Jeff Weaver's fabulous buoy went for. He usually goes for the most.
Yeah.
But it was just great. Just
yeah.
great people doing really good things. Very positive.
Fantastic. Before we go any further, I wanted to mention, Nicole is my go-to as far as family activity.
Yeah.
She has her series, Nicole's Picks, every Thursday, right?
Every Thursday.
And there's a link at the top of the blog. You can, even if you don't follow this week's one, there's a link to Nicole's family fun activities.
Oh, I'm sorry. Why didn't I know that? That's good.
It's always in the top of the blog,
oh, yeah,
in the little buttons that we have
buttons.
There. And even if you don't do the one that she picks for that week, if you scroll through all the ones, there's so many great ideas of things to do with kids. But I asked her specifically yesterday, what were some cool things I could do with the girls for February vacation?
When is February vacation?
Like the...
A couple of weeks. It starts on, so like Friday 16th the... 16th
or something.
You know, we get out of school on like Friday the 13th or something.
16th.
And then Monday, yeah, okay. 16th.
Okay.
Not that, yeah, I'm in tune.
I am not. So, yes, so the 17th. Saturday the 17th would be the first day.
Okay.
So the 19th is President's Day.
Okay.
And then that whole week.
Okay.
So the entire Northeast school children are out
at the same exact time. So
yeah.
So the I guess what makes it challenging for parents, like February vacation, there's not many places that you can go that are warm in February.
Right.
Right? It's a crapshoot to go to Florida in
right.
February. If you're a beach person and want to be outdoors, I mean, you could go outdoors in February down there, but you're not really guaranteed beach weather.
If you went like closer to like Aruba, like closer to the equator, would probably.
Yes. No. You have a better chance. But
yeah.
I mean, that's
right.
The flights are insane because of the schools
gotten
really strict about allowing, making sure kids don't take off a couple of days before or come back a couple of days after, for right or for wrong. It's like. All of the Northeast is trying to travel to the same destinations on the same days, going and coming.
Yeah.
So the price is like triple or quadruple. But there are options within driving distance.
Right.
And I tasked Nicole, and every time I task Nicole with something, she delivers big time. So do you want me to read off the thing and you can speak up to each one briefly?
Yeah.
Okay. First one you said, Providence Bruins.
Right, we do a lot of hockey, obviously, and so a couple of years ago, we did it for the first time, and we got, I think, 4 second row seats. They do, like, if you go onto their website, they do buy one, get one free, or a family of 4-pack that comes with, like, the hot dog and the soda or whatever. But I think that for the 4 tickets, it was, like, $79 total.
Yeah.
And while these guys now, you know the difference between the Providence Bruins and the real Bruins, they have just as much fun there. But
Finn, do you like going down for those? Good take? Yeah.
So when you go down there, we got a hotel room, which, you know, for them, no matter where you go, you know, is a treat.
Place, yeah.
So you get a hotel room, and we went to Dave and Buster's, which is a blast. Definitely cost, you know, it's a ton of money, but we had dinner there, went to Dave and Buster's, went to the Providence Bruins, and then on the way out of town the next day, it was, you know, it was this time of year, it was January when we did it, but it was like 50 degrees, and we went to the Roger Williams Zoo, which is phenomenal.
Oh, that's great.
Mm.
And they're like, you know, it's $8, maybe $13 to get in. But it's a really great, really great zoo.
Yeah.
Obviously, even better in the summer. You should totally go if you haven't gone. But even that time of year, it was great.
So you got that. Then you said, Dave and Buster's is right there. Nestle Nook Hotel in Jackson, New Hampshire.
Nestle Nook Farm.
Oh.
Yeah, I think they have it in there, but I haven't stayed there. We usually stay somewhere else and then go there. But the Nestle Nook Farm has sleigh rides, ice skating, and snowshoeing on their property. And I took a screenshot last night, but during February vacation, they've, you know, kind of kicked up their schedule a little bit, so they're offering more than they do in the average week. But you can go up and get a hotel room somewhere. Again, it's like a 2-hour, 15-minute drive. Go up there, go to the Common Man, or go to, you know, go wherever in Conway and into Jackson, and then go there and do the ice skating and the sleigh ride. Kind of a quintessential New England day trip, you know.
Patriot Place Hall of Fame.
Yep.
And ice skating.
We're going there tonight. So, again, same thing. They have a couple hotels there right at Patriot Place that are pretty affordable. They have ice skating at Patriot Place at night, well, you know, all day long. And then you can go to the Hall of Fame, the Pro Shop, but then Bass Pro Shops is also attached. So there's lots of shopping. Davio's is down there. Bar Louie, there's lots of great restaurants. And then kid-friendly CBS Scene is a great place to go. But then Bass Pro Shops is down at the end in the whole complex. And, you know, my kids can spend all day there looking at the aquarium and all, you know, all the great things they sell. But they have a little restaurant in there. You can walk through the cranberry bogs on the little path, take some great photos. So,
Finn, do you like going to that, show, that place? What's your favorite part about Bass Pro Shops?
Where the RC cars are.
Oh,
cause
yeah?
Like they, there's like sometimes this pool, little pool, and you could, there's like RC car boats in there that you could drive around.
Oh, RC car boats,
cool.
That's what they are. They're boats.
Yeah.
So they're RC boats.
So is that, they got Bodaborg.
Bodaborg.
And escape this what?
Escape This Alive is an escape room in Beverly, and then the escape room, you know, there's just different different businesses with the same idea. The escape room is in Salem.
Tubing at Neshoba Valley.
Yep, they have the one of the biggest tubing courses, and it's so Neshoba's in Massachusetts, so you don't have to go far.
How far of a drive is that, you think?
I feel like it's like 2 hours, give or take, maybe 1:45.
Yeah.
An hour 45, but you know, we don't ski yet just because we play so much hockey and it just hasn't fit into our schedule, but a day of tubing is, and there's also Amesbury Sports Park, we haven't talked about that, but that's,
yeah,
you know, 30 minutes away if you want to go tubing. And then
so what is the difference between those two? Because I never knew about Neshoba. I always went to the Amesbury one.
Well, Amesbury is just, it's great and we have fun there, but it's just a really, you know, it's a small hill.
Neshoba's a bigger hill?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nothing wrong with the Amesbury Sports Park. We definitely have fun there, but it's, you're not going to spend a day the same way you would at Neshoba.
Okay, cool. Stray Boots?
Stray Boots is awesome. They have these in every city, and now they have one in Salem, if you don't want to go as far as Boston, but they're smartphone-friendly.
The
so you sign on your phone. It's like $5, I feel like, to sign up for a challenge, and then you explore whatever city you're in, and then they have you hunt for like different destinations and locations and clues, and when you get to your next one and you plug in the answer,
you
they
take
send
a picture
your next,
and then it like sends you on to the next one. Yeah.
Yeah. So you did it, right, Joey?
I did it in the North End, based on your recommendation. We had a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all over Boston. I think it's like the, you know, Back Bay area, and then like Downtown Crossing, and then North End, and different the financial.
I think the
district.
North End was probably the perfect one.
Right.
Because it's so condensed there, and yeah, food, you know, cafes. And lastly, geocaching.
Yeah, we don't do it enough, but we always say we're going to do it. There's letterboxing and geocaching, you know, all over the world, and it's just a fun thing. We did it at the Cox Reservation in Essex, and the boys had a blast. But you just,
explain what geocaching is.
So you can either have an app on your phone, or if you get into it, you can actually buy the handheld GPS geocaching device. But if you go on, there's an app on your phone, geocaching, you know, whatever, and they're hidden everywhere. So like right here, I think in Gloucester we have like 12 hidden. So you go in and you either the younger, easier way to do it is your phone just kind of like starts pointing to it and you find it and you discover it, and then you write, sometimes you leave something in the box, they have a box hidden and you can take something from the box, you can keep your own log and, you know, keep track either online or in your little notebook about which ones you found. Some are super hard to find, some are really easy to find, so you can put in your own difficulty level. You can hide your own and then like post it in the listings, but they're like literally all over the place, all over the world,
and
which is fun.
Are they related to like some historical?
Sometimes they are. It really just depends on, yeah, like there's one at the Bunker Hill Monument that obviously, you know, is a little bit more. So it depends on what you're looking for, where you're going, but it's fun because the degree of difficulty is.
I'm downloading the app as we speak.
Yeah.
See how it goes.
So we try and we always forget, I feel like, but I keep on saying we're going to get better at it, but wherever you go, to like make a point of spending 20 minutes to find one and then keep a log.
I didn't say geocaching.
You did?
Yeah.
There you go. Well, thank you for all that
research.
She was at my house literally for 2 hours. She got to the house and spent 2 hours on her phone trying to find some place for me to go.
Trying to
like
find a vacation.
My own personal concierge.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard February vacation because, you know, the weather's not great, but also everyone's trying to go away. And it's,
It is very difficult.
But I told you too that you should look at that. The Steel Hill Resort up in New Hampshire is a great. You know, it's not crazy like Coco Key or Great Wolf Lodge or whatever else. It's kind of like a small fun hotel with a really nice indoor pool with like some small water slides, and they have like the ping pong and the pool tables, and they have like the Wii set up in the hallways. You can play the video games, but it's a fun little getaway.
Have you guys decided what you're gonna do, Joe?
I was looking at the geocaching app. I have decided, but I don't want to announce it because I have whenever school vacation comes, I always really downplay that we're not going to do anything with the girls, and then I blow them out of the water. Remember last year with that thing I did with the big huge speaker in the middle of the house, 3 o'clock in the morning, waking them up.
This is like Caitlin with a jacket. So you want to tell them this is not going to happen this year? You should, in case they're listening.
Did you guys ever hear that?
I totally heard it. Yeah. But you don't want your girls to think you're doing that again, so you might want to make sure.
Right, because you don't want them to think.
Right. No. I don't. I like. Hold on, let me see if I can play the audio for you. It was tremendous.
This is.
Are you gonna be able to find
it? It was way better than the two times I've surprised my children with trips to Disney World.
Oh yeah, we were
completely
like,
anticlimactic.
Hey, that was from Easter though. You put like we are like letters in the Easter eggs.
I made you spell. I know. So that was a buzzkill. I made you spell, and by the time you realized we were going to Disney, you had broken such a sweat that you were.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard it is right
really
here.
Not
ready?
Exciting.
I don't know if this will play.
This is like 3 a.m., right, Joey? Pitch black house when you.
Let me see. I'll play.
There we go.
I had a speaker right outside their bedroom door at 3 o'clock in the morning. And this is what played.
An error from World War II.
This is not a test. Wake up. This is not a test. This is not a drill. I repeat, this is not a drill. They're coming out of the things like glittery-eyed. Yes, it's true. We're going to Florida. Get dressed. We're going to Florida. I repeat, we're going to Florida. Get dressed. We gotta make the plane. Jammies, get out of your jammies. We're going to Florida. We gotta make the plane. I repeat, get out of your jammies now. So anyway, yeah, you get the idea.
Hilarious.
You should have seen if you saw the looks on their
awesome.
Faces.
Yeah,
the look from
precious.
From pure terror to joy, beaming out of their face. Because I told them we can't afford to go. We're not gonna be able to go anywhere. To go from to make a plane. Let's do this. Was pretty
awesome.
Insane. Yeah. So there's that. We got that going on. Let's get into the. Oh, so did I thank you for doing
yes,
all that
did.
Research?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The Snowy Owl has been the front page story for the past couple weeks now.
Couple of weeks, right?
Right.
Right.
Every day the crowds are growing.
Well, so
the back show yesterday
was crazy.
It was crazy.
Well, I didn't see it, but a lot of people, because I check in with my photographer friends just because I'm trying to keep track of who's there every day, like if Hedwig's there or Bubo's there. And so several days ago they had a big aerial skirmish.
Wait, so when Kim talks, this is all I see. The whole time, this is like the visual I get, Snow White with all the animals. Every time Kim talks,
yes.
This is all I picture in my head.
Yes. She's the keeper of the snowies.
So.
She is the preeminent wildlife.
No, there's people like...
But really,
people
but...
People who are doing like...
No,
well, I don't go out and
no,
photograph
it's a regular. On the,
no,
on the
but
GMB
let's be honest.
Podcast.
Like your theories are the only ones that really count, though. anyone else that has an idea about how these animals behave, if they say anything contrary to your beliefs, the fucking daggers that come out of your eyes.
It doesn't matter if they're a doctor or not.
No, Tim is the foremost authority on all wildlife.
No, that isn't true. That is not true.
Is it not true when someone says something contrary to what you believe, that daggers come out of your eyes and smoke comes out of your ears?
Well, what happens is how I feel is when you're trying to help educate a community about what's going on, and then people get...
misinformation.
Give misinformation, that really bothers me.
I know,
yeah. That really bothers me.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So I think it's better to, like, you know, just learn and learn and learn as much as you can. But I also, like, I'll give you an example.
I think it's interesting this.
Okay.
When Kim is out in the field, she spends all day, every day, just about out in the fields, observing these animals. And then there's certain things that are repeated by certain people
that are
absolutely contrary to what she is absolutely observing with her own eyes,
right.
Not something that she's read. And I know, so when I say this, I kid, but I know that this drives her up a wall because she has firsthand knowledge of this is absolutely not. And these experts in, you know, I'm doing air quotes, experts, you know, they cling to their own beliefs, whether they have seen this or if they've read this or not.
Yeah.
And they keep repeating it over. They read one thing and they repeat it over and over.
That's
and
absolutely
over again.
True.
Right. It's
kind of across the board.
Yeah. And it's very much so with the swans. This is because I get criticism all the time for caring for Mr. Swan, and it's just like.
Then you have that. Oh, you had that rude lady this week that was writing terrible things to us. You know, so I was flabbergasted at the comments that that lady was writing.
And I wrote back very, very nice comments.
You did.
I don't know how. I don't know how you. I don't know how you held your composure.
Very, very well.
And then
there must have been steam.
But
coming out of your
was. There, like I read it, like Tom and I are out to dinner and I read her comments and I'm like, oh my god, why did I read that? That's just was such a kill, you know, dinner killing enjoyment.
Yeah.
So then I got home, spent an hour writing a really nice composed comment, and then we got that slamming email the next day.
Yeah.
So I was just like,
I didn't even know what she was talking about.
Right.
I had to go back
like,
in.
I'm not responding. I'm just not responding. I politely accepted her comment.
You don't have to approve those comments.
I know.
If you know them not to be true,
well,
or if someone's straight out rude, they don't. We don't owe anybody.
Right.
We don't owe anybody.
I'm not going to anymore.
I mean, if we were getting paid.
She just kept bringing it to the next level. You know what I mean? She just wanted
She wanted to incite you. She wanted to poke.
She's poking the paper.
So update. Get back to updating us, please.
Okay.
They had the skirmish.
So they had the skirmish, and then we haven't seen Bubo since then. He's the male with the injured eye, and Hedwig was gone for 2 days, but now she's back again, and she was back yesterday. And I guess the crowds, as Kate's video shows, the crowds were just.
All day, there are huge crowds on the back show.
I warned the city officials about that, but then I said, well, maybe it's not going to happen because she hasn't been here for 2 days. But
it was a nice day.
Well,
they're
also birders looking for other
birds
too.
Right.
The alcids and stuff.
That's right.
So, yeah,
that's right. And also yesterday, everybody stayed on the sidewalk, which was really, really important because you should stay at least 50 yards away, which is 150 feet. So that's pretty much the
how long do you think
guy.
It's going to be before there's a fist fight?
Oh,
among the photographers.
No, because it's
the
two-legged creatures are not
late. I think the photographers and the polite guests, they say to us one person, like the one guy comes up to us and he goes, you know, like, I'm going to go run down there and make the snowy fly. Is that okay with you guys so I can get a picture of him flying? We're all like, no, that's not okay. So, but we all said it very nicely, and he respected that and didn't go down there. So everybody's trying really hard to maintain the, everybody wants, you know, again, this morning, the guy with the biggest lens has to get the closest.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's amazing. Like,
when you say
why?
Biggest lens,
why
are you really talking about lens?
Why do you need a 3-foot long lens?
The people
lens?
With the phones are in their cars doing it, shooting out the window. Yeah.
So either the biggest lens or with the cell phone people, they have to get really close. But anyways, This morning I filmed, her face was all smudged with blood, which is good. That's a really good sign. That means they're that she just came from eating something. Yeah. So her face and her talons were bloody. And then, because it rained, she found a puddle in the rocks, and it took her like, I don't know, like 45, 50 minutes to take a bath.
Oh,
she's
beautiful.
Pushing her face in the water, shaking her feathers, fluffing. It was just beautiful. It was really beautiful to see. The light was very low, so the
picture. It's all snow white.
Light was low, so the pictures aren't going to be great, but I got all in video footage.
Fantastic.
So what do you expect next of these? Will they be migrating away?
Yes.
Will they?
Yes. So hopefully they'll just keep having successful days hunting. Early. I think they hunt early morning and late in the day.
You know, we were down there the other day. I think it was during one of the 2 days that they weren't sighted over there.
Yeah.
And there was a dead rabbit on the side of the road.
Oh.
And I thought, my first thought was somebody brought it and left it for them.
Oh,
gee,
that was my first thought.
I don't know
but
if they would. I don't know if they would eat that.
Yeah, I don't know. But it occurred to me, like, well, there's.
I don't know if they would scavenge, honestly.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty.
Yeah, I think so.
Fussy.
Too.
They need a fresh kill.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure, but the thought occurred to me that.
You know, they fish too. Like, there's a record of John Audubon, and I don't know if there's any records subsequently after that of one pecking a hole in ice. And
I've
then
heard
fishing
that,
from the ice holes. So I haven't seen that, but it's so exciting that we have this beautiful creature here. And it's going to be short-lived. I don't know when they, maybe end of January, beginning of February,
when they start leaving.
So
it's
not going to be here forever.
Have you heard much about the snowies on cranes? Is there more than one there? Or?
Yeah, there's a couple there. I've heard there's three or four there. I've heard that there's almost a pure white one on Salisbury Beach, which means that it could be an adult male. I mean, it's all a little, determining whether it's male or female, there's a little, there's some crossovers there.
Yeah.
But it could be, so I've heard the pure white one is still there on Salisbury Beach.
Oh, interesting.
There's some on Cranes and there's some on Plum Island,
too.
So, and also people are, like photographers every day say to me, oh, there was one down at the fish pier. There was one at Stageport Park. So,
we're wondering if it's. I wonder if it's the same one.
Same one. I don't know, because Hedwig is pretty much there.
She's been down at Brace a few times too.
Oh, I wondered about that because one time I saw her fly in that direction.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'd love to get some.
I think they're when we're not seeing them for a couple of days, they're probably
just
elsewhere on the island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
very
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
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 happy talk.
Well, good. We get that. So that's the snowy owl update.
Yes, yeah, snowy owl update.
Okay,
yep.
Very good. The Dalpiaz folks have you went to the left right center tournament.
We did. We
the bridge puts this on twice a year, I think.
I think so.
We were gonna go, and it was sold out, and you guys were thoughtful enough to get your tickets in advance.
We reserved our tickets online in advance, and it was as easy as anything to do that. And it's very well run. I had not yet been to one of the
you never heard of
events.
Left Right Center.
And
no.
we had to ask Joey, so what is this about Left Right Center? What are we getting into?
I don't know.
It's a
very
game.
Simple game.
It's a
right?
very
it's
simple.
Oh, okay, I've played the game.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a very simple dice game. Where you roll a dice and it tells you left, center, or right, and you move your whatever token.
Just everybody
or
gets three tokens
okay.
to start
and
each game.
And then somebody starts and you.
And it goes around.
You go around and you roll the dice.
Everything moves. Anyway, it was a lot of fun.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And then
so that's a tournament?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they
so each table, the champ from each table, the tables of 11, was it?
Yeah, 11.
It was supposed to be 11, but there were apparently 27 tables.
Wow.
One of the guys counted. And each table got three people to send.
Oh, wow.
So we didn't stay. We didn't happen to end up being one of those three people.
No.
But, and it's complete, there isn't any strategy. It's just pure
luck.
It's pure luck.
Right.
It's exciting, too.
It was because
you're in it, in each round, you're not out until... The last person puts their their
right.
chip into the center.
Yeah, yeah.
A few times we have lost. I was next to Pat, and both of us lost all our chips, and it went past a few times, and all of a sudden it changed where we started to get some of the chips, and we were in the running for the final thing, and then, of course, we rolled the dice, and the seat came up, and the seat comes up where you toss it in the middle, and
but
there
the,
was no
once it goes in the middle, it doesn't come out.
The bridge people ran it very well. It was a fundraiser for a scholarship, and
Elks
I was
scholarship.
Look it up, which scholarship, but I forgot to do that. And they had a 50-50, and I think the winner took home well over $1,000 on a 50-50. So
that's a lot of
again, that wasn't us either.
And what I was noticing too, and Joey can attest to this, and I didn't know this, but you have rounds, and some of the tables are still playing because it could go quite a while. So they kind of said to us, well, folks, if you're waiting for the rounds to get done, you
can
still play,
yourself.
Say, some side games. Right. So then people start playing
instead
it
of
with
chips
dollar,
you're playing
they,
with dollar bills.
They took $3 bills out. But the table next to me that totally blew me away was they all took out lottery tickets. And they were playing with lottery tickets.
Smart.
And they were going crazy.
Like
and
scratch tickets? Or
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when
that's
it went
tremendous.
In
that'd
the middle,
kind of fun.
That they
yeah.
say in the center, that was the pot. And
yeah.
the last person standing wins the pot. So I was watching this one girl who next to me, she was screaming her head off because she was taking all these lottery tickets that were left. Think about it. There's 11 at a table and 3 each. You do the math.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how many lottery tickets, and you never know, right?
Yeah,
as they
yeah,
say.
Right.
So that was blowing me away. Then, of course, there was some partaking of other drinks that I did hear quite often, dilly-dilly, throughout the room while people rolled certain things. All of a sudden, that meant people had to
drink.
Oh,
drink. Nice. Very nice.
So it was really...
We just did the drinking.
Yeah. yeah.
They were announcing where everybody was from, and when they said, you know, when they said New York, you should see everyone's face. We were looking around. We were hiding. Because we didn't know whether they...
Nicole, in your list, you did not mention, which is something that we all, that I know your family does, and our family does a lot in the middle of the winter. Guess what it was?
The pool. Yeah, no, I know that's kind of like a given. We're there all the time.
Well,
yeah, we should mention that. Yeah.
Jimmy and Pat put it into the show notes. Mile Marker are having a family night every Tuesday from 5 to 8 p.m. Swimming and fun for the whole family. Kids pay their age, and no one pays more than $10 at the Aqua Room.
Yep. And I think on Mondays, they're also still doing Kids Eat Free with an adult meal.
Yeah,
I don't know if that was just like 6 weeks in a row or if it's every Monday.
Well, the sign was still up. When
we
went to lunch there this week, they did a very, very nice job in that back room. And then the new area, restaurant and bar
the
area
Riverview, yeah, the Riverview.
Back there. And then the damage that they suffered from the storm, they recovered from that very, very nicely. So, yeah, there was a Kids Eat Free sign still posted. So I'm going to say...
They also have a wine dinner.
I found that interesting.
February 22nd. And we have a link to that in the show notes. And some other special events over there. They're doing a lot over there. In the winter, it's not just, that place doesn't just shut down like it used to.
Right.
Yeah, they're doing good things.
A couple of people have asked me, and I don't have any answers, so I welcome anybody who does have answers to either submit them or to let us know. But people have been asking who's doing Super Bowl things at their I'm sure Mile Marker will do something with their TVs, but my dad was asking me who in town
is doing something. That would be
do you remember back in the day the Gloucester House used to do that, the $100 squares?
Yep, it was huge.
You bought a $100 square and you got the part of it was a prime rib dinner.
Oh,
a great take. It was a lot
for
of fun.
The,
that's back
the,
when
the
Gloucester House was cool.
For the Super Bowl?
I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Doctor,
was that a Super Bowl event? That was a Super Bowl event.
Yeah, for the Super Bowl. It was a great time.
You're right, I haven't seen too much out there about that.
Yeah, I haven't either.
That would be a good post.
Yeah,
to,
so
to
I
put all the Super Bowl events up.
I told my dad I would do
that. Nicole's going
to
do that. She said she was doing that.
I'm going to do that. Yeah. we're going to get the inside scoop tomorrow morning from Belichick and Kraft and Brady and Amendola.
In your spare time.
Yeah, kid, report on Gronk is availability for the Super Bowl when you're down there?
I will. We're excited. All kidding aside, I'm trying to. So the event starts at 9, and we're spending the night right at Patriot Place. So I'm trying to think, what time do we have to roll out of our hotel room to get a good spot in line to listen to them? They have. They're all scheduled to speak, which is awesome.
Wow.
And right there in front of the gift shop in Patriot Place and whatever. So we're psyched.
Good, nice, warm weather for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's gonna rain or snow, so you might want to bring an umbrella. One thing we didn't talk about, Pat and Jimmy brought the twice baked croissants that we spoke about last week.
Mm,
yeah,
they're delicious.
Very, very nice.
You also said that had you not ordered them.
Yes, thanks to Kim's advice, because we knew we needed a number of them for this morning. I was hoping to get a half dozen, that she suggested that we order them ahead, and which we did. Thank goodness we did do that. That was a good call. And they were ready for us when we got there, and it was great.
I think for the almond croissants, if you want more than, it's very iffy that you can get them. So
right, because I don't think they make very many. They
right.
Even when I said I wanted 6, they were a little bit like, ooh, let me check on that.
And then we got to witness the way that Nicole ate the croissants.
Yes.
Well, which
Nicole,
I've never seen anyone pick little pieces off of the top.
When you
eat a croissant, don't you eat the croissant? Only a savage doesn't eat a croissant by taking it from the end and eating from the one end.
Oh,
no,
you gotta take the end and kind of pull,
right, yeah.
And the middle piece comes out, and then you have almost like a.
These are like so flaky and crusty. I mean, look at the leftovers
the huge mess,
here.
Huge
so,
mess.
There you go.
We're really sorry we got crumbs on your floor. Here.
Oh, forget it. It's impossible to eat. All right. Well, there you go. GloucesterCast 264. Thanks, Aaron, for coming in.
Thank
Nicole,
you.
Finn, Pat, and Jimmy, and Kim. This is Joey Shimataro. GloucesterCast 264 is in the books.